Welcome, Potters, to episode 119 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay and inanity.
Yay!
We're dorks.
We are dorks.
So, of course, we are starting off our weekend with your dose of nerdy, geeky cosplay goodness and coffee, apparently.
Coffee is life. Coffee is essential. It is mana. It is necessary. But no branding this time, sorry.
I didn't think it was mana. I thought it was a health potion.
It's mana. For some people, it's mana.
Anyways, so we've had a bunch of conventions already going on in the last couple of months, and we have more conventions coming up in the next couple of months, because convention season never stops, at least as far as we are concerned and as far as the cosplay community is concerned. But I did want to mention, speaking of conventions, as I go over to their page, wanted to congratulate Project Akon on their massive member haul. They finally got their official numbers in. Drumroll, they had 32,639 warm bodies officially. Holy crap.
Yeah, and that's not turnstile numbers either. So it's not like, you know, each person who gets a weekend pass counts as three people. That's individual people.
Right, and it's also not counting those who basically ghosted the con, who were going to Fan Expo and Akon at the same time. So they didn't count those people. So they're actually estimating that it was probably closer to 35, 36,000 people.
Yeah, which is a massive jump from last year. And even with a lot of the space closed off, I mean, there were still areas where you could move around comfortably, so it wasn't like uber-duper crowded, like some people complain. It always amuses me when people are like, man, you should go back to the Sheraton. That was more like convention. Dudes,
we don't
fit. We could not fit even if we tried. Do you want to test that theory? Feel free to run your own convention and see what happens when you stick 35,000 people in that little space. No
Imagine
one would be able to walk.
With 35,000 people.
God, no. No.
It doesn't work.
It would not work. It's just not going to happen.
So that said, unfortunately, Fan Expo and Akon will be on the same weekend again next year, but at least the Anatole will have the water park open so that there will be more space for even more warm bodies. And to go along with that, as soon as they open hotel rooms, I heavily suggest that you book one as soon as the blocks open up, because there's going to be even more people next year.
It's always a really good idea.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be at the Anatole. You can always book at one of the overflows. That's perfectly fine. Thing is, if you think you're going to want to stay in a hotel, book the room. You can always cancel it later because you have up until 72 hours before your stay to cancel without penalty. A lot of places don't charge you a deposit, so it literally only costs you time to book a room. And then you people scrambling at the last minute going, oh, please, oh, God, somebody, I need a hotel room. I'll sleep in the bathtub. Just please, I need a place to stay. Don't be one of those guys. Just book the room now. If you can't find enough people to share it, you can always drop it later, but at least you'll have one. Sage advice from people who have gone to conventions for a long time.
Well, heck, I mean, even the places where they do require a deposit, most people are understanding that if you need to cancel, they'll be able to refund you, or if not the hotel, then you can work out a deal with the people taking your room. You know, hey, I've already paid the deposit. I need you to pay me the deposit back and you can pay the rest of the room rate. So, I mean, it never hurts to book early. I can tell you from my experience from Dragon Con, the second the slots open, book. Just don't even think about it. Book. And you can figure out the rest later.
Not all cons are quite as frantic as, say, Dragon Con or SDCC, but a lot of conventions are getting to the size now to where realistically, if you want a good hotel room, if you want your pick of the hotels, then you basically need to do it within a couple of days of them opening the room block. And of course, for the Anatole, if you're not already an H Honors member, I feel like I'm doing an advert, except that they're not paying me and I'm not getting anything for this.
No extra points for you.
No extra points for me. I just say this because it's convenient, but if you're not an H Honors member, go join. Because one of the benefits of being H Honors, Hilton's Honors Program, is that not only do you get to check in a full day before your stay. So in this case, I stayed at Akon Thursday through Sunday. I checked in Wednesday without having to go to the hall. I went online and I checked in on their website. And the second benefit is that you get to choose your room. So you already know what room you're going to stay in. You can choose if you want atrium or tower, and you can choose what room number you get. You can choose what floor you're staying on. So those in and of itself are really good benefits considering H Honors is free. Plus you get to rack up points, and if you have enough points, then you don't have to pay for your room. You get a free room.
Yeah, you can use those for perks in other places. Or if you're like me and you're a seasoned traveler to other conventions, those points add up really quickly. So you can sometimes upgrade to another room completely free. You can get a night for free. You can get breakfast for free. I mean, the points do actually add up if you're a seasoned traveler.
And even if with H Honors, if you don't have enough points, you can pay with partial points and then pay the balance. They're usually really good about that. Mm-hmm. H Honors people get free Wi-Fi in the rooms.
Because their Wi-Fi is really flippin' expensive otherwise.
Yeah. And they generally tend to treat you nicer. H Honors also get digital keys. They have the little plastic room keys anymore. It's stored on your phone, which you always have with you anyway. So you can just basically push button on phone and door unlocks.
Still creepy.
Really nice. It is creepy, and it has its security implications, which I've already discussed, but it's still a nice idea.
I'd still rather have the physical key. That's just me, though.
Well, the physical keys are also Bluetooth.
Anyways. Yeah, that's true.
That was just more of a PSA for those who are looking to go to conventions. Get your hotel rooms early and join their points systems if you haven't already. They're all free. Or if you have corporate deals, check with them and see if they can help you out. Some credit cards offer deals, like Amex has its own club where they'll do hotel bookings for you and points and such. It's worth it if you go to conventions often enough. They add up.
And a lot of the hotels are owned by like two or three chains these days. Hilton's been buying up a lot of property. So it's more than likely your points are probably good somewhere.
And even if you can't use them at the hotels, Hilton actually has a store, an online store where you can buy things with points. I actually bought a paper shredder with points one year because my points were going to expire and I couldn't use them. So I ended up getting a paper shredder, which I have used the ever-living crap out of.
Nice.
It's very useful.
Nice. That's one way to do it.
You can get anything from power tools to gourmet chocolates. You can get gifts for other people. You can get jewelry. You can get clothing. Just random things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you earn these points and you end up not being able to use them, just go online and see what you can do with them. You can even redeem them for gift cards to places like On the Border, which I heavily approve of.
Because you know the cosplayers want restaurant gift cards.
That's what they say. Yeah. Well, speaking of gifts, which is a lovely segue.
Hey, there you go.
As you've probably seen, my arms have been resting on something. I have a box.
Yay, box of stuff.
I have a box, and it's Fragile Box.
Fragile Box.
Yeah, that's what it says. It says Fragile. Fragile.
Fragile.
Yes. This is actually the next in line of the Infinicon prizes. I finally got this in from one of our donors. And this was one of the days when I didn't have phone and internet because my phone fell out of my back pocket onto a really hard tile floor at the gym the other day. And it shattered the touchscreen, which became inoperable. So I didn't have a phone for about 3 days. And my internet also died for 3 days, and they finally came and repaired my cable or my fiber. So I couldn't tell anybody I had this because I had no way of doing so. So I'm going to unbox this.
Yay, unboxing! Live unboxing!
Yes, live unboxing so that you guys can see what the Infinicon winners are going to be getting. You know, along with all of the other awesome prizes that we've got pending. This particular one is from American Art Clay, otherwise known as Amico. And you guys may know them as the awesome purveyors of friendly plastic, which is the thermoplastic little beads that you put in hot water and then they become almost clay-like and you can mold stuff with them, which is awesome. Oh, wow. They put in a really good foam protector. This is solid, man. Nice. Oh, it's a box within a box.
Yay! Awesome.
I love boxes within boxes. That was really well padded. Ooh. I hear it rattling. I hear it rattling.
She's already very happy about this.
Ooh. We got ivory pellets.
Nice.
Now I will say, this is not for me. This is not for me. This is for the winners of the Infinicon cosplay contest on Saturday. And you can go to their website, infinicon.net, and you can go and sign up for the contest. I will be editing our website today so that you guys can get all of the lovely details. Holy crap. They sent a ton. Oh my gosh, you guys. Emiko is really good to you guys because I literally have a box full.
Holy.
Of friendly plastic.
That's a lot of freaking friendly plastic.
This is for you guys. This is so cool.
That's a lot.
See, friendly plastic is really good for making small molds of things. Not to mention that you can also just simply, you don't even have to mold, you can make small things. So if you were to heat this up and push it into a gem mold, you can make gems with it. It's just the same stuff as any other small thermoplastic. It will harden and it will stay hard as soon as it's cooled off, so you don't have to worry about it, say, melting, unless you're in Texas and you leave it in your car, in which case you're going to have a giant puddle when you get done.
Yay, puddle.
Yes, but this is going to the placement winners, you know, first, second, third, best in show. First, second, third being best in category. Hold on to this. I'm going to put it in my secret spot here. There we go.
The secret spot that's underneath her desk right now.
Thanks.
We know that'll change.
That is the temporary secret spot because they do get stored elsewhere because it has to go with the Golden Door gift certificates as well. Yes.
That's really cool.
I am waiting on one other shipment from McCall's because they are sending you guys cosplay patterns. And actually, while I'm at it, I wanted to show you guys this. Let me show you guys. Yeah, you guys are going to see kind of meta for a second as you see our Hangout. Hello, Hangout.
Hi, Hangout.
So right, this is McCall's pattern collection. And as you can see, they've actually expanded their cosplay line. They've now got items from Sherlock. I'm not entirely sure what this is from. I'm guessing Once Upon a Time. And then they've got a couple of others. They're starting to expand into corsetry here and then steampunk style up here. So you can see they're definitely starting to expand. They're actually sending patterns for the winners of the Infinicon cosplay contest. So if you guys saw last year's patterns, the massive ones that came in the giant envelopes that looked really cool, especially the paper wings one. Yeah, they've got even more this year. And I'm really happy that they've opted to donate to the contest. Also wanted to show you guys, speaking of nerddom, I showed this to Val yesterday, and she had a head desk moment.
I had a very big head desk moment.
So, Simplicity. Can you guys see this on the screen?
Yeah, it's up there.
Okay, good. So, Simplicity, the geek is strong with Simplicity this season. They've started opening up their summer collection. And as you can see on screen, they've added more cosplay stuff in the form of Doctor Who pet costumes.
Why is this a thing?
I do admit that the Matt Smith one is very cute.
It's cute, but I'm just like, why? Why?
They've also got a new DC Comics Bombshell line, which you can see here. They're expanding their Doctor Who line, as you can see here with our beloved 4th and 11th Doctors. There's more DC Bombshells. We've got Batgirl. I thought this was really neat. They've got applique hooded scarves, which in summer are probably not as useful, but you can get fleece on sale pretty much everywhere right now because it's summer. And they've got some really geeky looking patterns for these. I thought some of these were really cute. If somebody wanted to take these and sell them at a convention, they'd probably sell decently, especially if you went to a place like ANT that is in the winter. And the other one I wanted to show, because thankfully they have it for guys, is they finally have Waistcoat Joker. Old school.
Old school Joker.
Yes. Which I really do appreciate that they're bringing some of these back, because even you can see here with the Wonder Woman Bombshell, it's very old school.
Mm-hmm. Very pin-up-y.
A lot of these, yeah, they're very throwback. And I'm really glad that they're bringing some of this style back. I mean, you can even take some of these, like the skirt patterns, and you can get so many geeky fabrics now. So many geeky fabrics. If you walk into Joann's and go into their cotton print section, or even into their fleece section, if you wanted to make something out of fleece, like if you wanted pajama pants, they've got a lot of licensed character prints now. Anything from Mario to Legend of Zelda to your favorite Marvel characters, DC, video games, anything you could want at this point. And of course, there's Pokemon, which have been around for a little while. And you can just make standard clothing geeky. See, there's Deadpool, because you've got to have
Deadpool.
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 You've got Linkle, or at least their version of Linkle.
Yeah, I think it's meant to be Link and not technically Linkle, but whatever.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what the second one is. I think it's supposed to be Assassin's Creed. I'm not certain though, because
I'm going to zoom in on this so you guys can see it. There you go.
yeah.
So
And
they're.
I made this comment to Amber yesterday. I was like, it's called gaming warrior costumes. Let's be realistic here. That is not a gaming warrior costume. No chick would have so much armor on.
Not to mention the large white dress with the voluminous Renaissance style sleeves is very impractical for fighting.
Yeah.
So unless you're a warrior mage, probably not going to do you much good.
Nope. But we appreciate the effort, though.
Yeah, I am really glad that they're starting to bring out patterns for obviously the geek fans.
Yeah.
I wanted to show this last one to you guys. This is their Star Wars knockoff, surprisingly enough.
They're based off of, what's her name? Shoot, the cosplayer's name completely escapes me, but she did a series of these with Boba Fett and with Stormtrooper and with Darth Vader. They're very similar to this, so.
And we will actually be chatting about this later in the show, which is making OG or original versions of characters that are already known IP. So we're going off and being unique later on in the show, and this is actually a really good example of that.
OG for life.
I got to turn it off. There we go.
There we go. Ta-da! Yay.
It kind of hiccups.
Oh yeah, screen share does that, but it's a good way to showcase the crap that we see on the internet that makes it highly entertaining.
Yes. And the last part, at least of my cosplay news that I wanted to briefly share, is that a new cosplay book has come out. And this particular one is by Carmada Cosplay, otherwise known as Christy Good. And it's called Epic Cosplay Costumes, which it has nothing to do with the company Epic Cosplay. It's just the title being Epic Cosplay Costumes, a step-by-step guide to making and sewing your own costume designs. So this is another similar in a line of books that are basically trying to take you from beginning to end in designing and making your own costumes. And I'm really glad that they're doing this because there are so many people that want to get into cosplay now. And while there are a metric boatload of tutorials everywhere, not just on YouTube, but now they're on Pinterest, on Instagram, on Tumblr, on everything else. Having those tutorials does not make it less intimidating when you see the sheer quality that's coming out from some of the better known cosplayers and even some of the lesser known cosplayers. When you see an orc made of full EVA foam and you sit there and look at that and go, "Holy mother of cosplay. How did he do that? How can I do that?" He's got tutorials on just about every aspect of that costume. They're on the Arpia forums. You can see them, and they're very well written by Stephen K. Smith. But it's still really intimidating to look at that and go, I can't make it look like that. I just can't. So the more books we have on this that kind of try and help you out, the better, because different perspectives can help people in different ways to be less intimidated. To go off and try these things on your own, because experimenting is good. I can't say lighting things on fire is good, but
Ah,
experimenting is good.
but lighting up things on fire is so fun.
I didn't say it wasn't fun. I just said it's not necessarily good. But we want the newbies, as it were. We want the new people to feel comfortable with trying new things. Screwing up is okay. That's how you learn. We want you to screw up because you learn better that way, preferably screwing up without injuring yourself. But that's the best way you're going to be able to get these techniques down. We want you to try them, and here's how. So here's all the new tutorials. I'm a little surprised as I'm looking at this on Amazon. It's about $24, by the way, brand new from Amazon. It hasn't been released yet, so they're still in pre-order stage. But they'll also have the customers who viewed this item also viewed down at the bottom. And there's actually even more cosplay books.
There's a ton out there.
Cosplay Basics, Cosplay, the Beginner's Masterclass. There's all these really cool cosplay books. Some of them are meant to be used as manuals. Obviously, you go through step-by-step instructions. Some of them are meant to be coffee table books so that if you have people come over and they're just like, ooh, this looks really kind of cool, and they start paging through your books. So it may be worth it if you're just kind of curious to just go on Amazon and type cosplay book and just take a look at what they've got out there. It looks like they've got some really good stuff. And since 4th of July is coming up for us here in the States, everybody and their brother has a sale on 4th of July weekend because they can, because they make money and people want to spend money. So you may check around your favorite institutions to see if they are actually having sales. And then you can pick yourself up a book along with all of the notions and materials that you need to actually do the things in the book.
We want you to do the things.
Shuli, do the thing.
Do the thing. Do the thing.
Do the do.
No, I really don't want to do the do.
Actually, I am doing. I am doing the do.
I can't stand the do, so we're not doing the do.
I'm doing the do with real sugar.
Real sugar do. That's a lovely mental image. I'll stick to my coffee, thanks.
You do that. I can't stand bitter food.
But so good. It's so good. It's only as bitter as you make it. And I fully admit, I drink mine straight black. I don't do cream sugar or any of that stuff. It is just straight coffee. So yeah, it's kind of bitter.
People would be coffee with my sugar.
That's how my brother does it. And I'm just like, dude, you're destroying the goodness that is the coffee.
I'm a super taster. I despise bitter foods because they're extra bitter to me. That's why I don't like green veggies very much either, except edamame.
Wow.
They're all bitter.
How dare you?
Anyway, speaking of greens, I see green behind you.
Yeah, I know. My life is completely consumed by green. Like, hashtag green is my life. I have been putting that in almost every single one of my posts because it seems like I am consumed by green constantly.
Yeah, you did have an awful lot of green with Rydia, and now you're carrying it over.
And with Fu. And what's funny is the trio that I was in for that Magic Knight Ray Earth group, we're talking about doing another series of costumes together. And, you know, the girl who picked the blue, she's picking the blue again. The girl who picked the red again. And I picked the green again. I'm just like, is this a theme? It's like, is this how my life is always going to be with cosplay and you guys? Is that I'm always going to be the green one?
Yes.
Yeah. So yeah, this is Green Ranger for life. I like the Blue Ranger more though, but green. Tommy's the man. He's the man. Okay, anyway. So this is the mess that I've been working on for the last 2 weeks. Not bad for 2 weeks, right? That's pretty darn good. If you haven't figured it out already, this is a creeper dress. I am making a Minecraft creeper for Rooster Teeth Expo, which is next weekend. The idea came to me just kind of random as I was driving home from work one day. I had been talking to my brother earlier during my lunch break and was like, maybe I'll make something for the expo. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. And as I was thinking about it, one of my favorite things I like to watch with Rooster Teeth is their Let's Play series, specifically Minecraft. This has been like my power through crafting session for the last couple of months is I'll have Minecraft playing in the background. I'll chuckle every now and then, and I'll stop and I'll look at the screen going, what the hell are they doing? But it's kept me entertained enough that I was like, you know, how cool would it be to make a Minecraft dress and kind of pay homage to the characters on that series? So that's what I'm doing with this. I've got a full-length dress that's almost to the floor. It's very 50s inspired. I was watching a lot of Back to the Future at the time. So it's a very 50s inspired dress because of that. I'm even going to style the wig so it's 50s-like hair. But I also haven't seen like a dress like this before with Minecraft characters. Typically, people just do the cardboard box stuff, which is fine. I have no problem with that. But I wanted something flowy and fabric-y and fun. So this could also be like formal wear too, which is kind of fun. And then I'm doing little touches here and there to pay homage to the characters, such as this monstrosity that I did during Insomnia Time. This is the Achievement Hunter logo that I'm going to be plastering on my butt. Yay. And I'm also going to be carrying this guy around. This is what I've been working on. This is going to be my purse. This is Edgar the Cow, as I've been working on a zipper with him, and he's got guts and everything inside. This is the other part that I've been working on. And then just little things here and there that I'm going to do with the hair piece, with the necklace. The necklace is the Tower of Pimps, which is something they created in their Minecraft series. Look, 2 weeks of work. It's fully quilted, too. That's the sick thing. I quilted the entire thing. This is not a print from Spoon Flower or Fabric on Demand. This is all quilted.
I highly recommend that you prepare for the incoming influx of requests for Edgar the Cow purses.
Edgar.
Everyone's going to see that and they're just going to go, oh my God, where did you get that? Where can I get one?
Like I made this and it'll be $150 for each one because I don't have the time to make more. I actually do plan on having Ryan sign this. Ryan in the series holds Edgar in a glass case. I felt it would be appropriate if he signed my purse. It'll be fun. It'll be cute. Even if I don't get all the little details done in time, the main dress is almost complete. I just got to stitch in the straps and we're good to go. And I'll still have at least the logo done. I'll have this done. I'll have the hair piece done. So it'll still tie in to what I want it to be. And it'll be fun. It'll be comfy for me to wear. I can walk around in this all day at the expo and just have fun with it and enjoy myself. So yeah, that's the monstrosity I've been working on during my insomnia hours when I can't sleep. And I'm quilting my life away. Oh, this is also the reason why I finally got myself a rotary cutter. I mentioned this after the show last week where I was like, oh yeah, I forgot to talk about my new purchase. 8 years of cosplaying, I finally have a rotary cutter. I've leveled up. Woo! I'm an adult now. Yay.
It definitely helps when you have to cut a lot of straight lines. So squares, long strips for making bias tape, that sort of thing. Rotary cutters are not great for cutting edges very well.
No.
Just because they're a little bit hard to control without something backing against it. And whenever you guys use rotary cutters, if you haven't ever used one before, generally it's best to use them on cutting mats. Don't just use them on your table because the blades are sharp enough that they will carve into your table.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll get these long tracks where you've cut.
And it'll be like, where did that come from? Oh.
And word to the wise, if you guys did not know about the self-healing cutting mats, you're supposed to wet them down.
Yes.
After you're done using them, because that's what helps them self-heal and kind of knit themselves back together. You don't just use it and then throw it in your cabinet. You're actually supposed to wet them.
Yeah, and I have one of those mats. I actually got it in a little kit, so it came with the mat and it came with the ruler and the tool. And I got it for a pretty good price. It was only $15 on Amazon, and it's pretty decent size mat. It almost takes up my entire crafting table. So I was like, yeah, I'm okay with this. Why didn't I buy one sooner? I'm an idiot.
Yep. Joanne's, speaking of, actually has a big Notions sale going on 4th of July weekend. And cutting mats and rotary cutters are considered Notions. So if you guys want to go get one, go find your local. I'm on sale this coming weekend.
The weekend
that this will release.
Yeah. I will definitely be using it way more when I'm cutting straight lines because I don't know how I lived without one. I really do not know.
Also, last but not least, Hancock's is sending around emails basically saying June 28th is the last day. And you guys, unfortunately, will not hear of this until after the date has already passed when this releases. So near you, the Hancocks may be open longer. I don't know, but it looks like they're really trying to finish the bankruptcy and they're trying to liquidate what they've got left. So if you haven't already been to Hancocks, I know their sales have been really kind of slow in ramping up lately, but it may be worth a visit just to see what they have left, if nothing else, to pick up some extra patterns on the side or to pick up scrap fabric, because it's usually a good idea to make a mock-up of whatever you're working on first before cutting into the final fabric, just in case you screw up or don't like the fit. So it's always handy to have scrap fabric around that's to your final product so that you can just make a really quick mock-up, fix what needs to be fixed, and then transfer that to your final fabric. So even if they have like dollar or two cheap cotton, cheap suiting, cheap knits, that sort of thing, it can really help you out.
It's worth at least taking the look, though. Even though when we went, we did not have any luck whatsoever, I'm hoping to at least stop by the one that's near my work this week. Crossing my fingers that they have like 99-cent cotton so I can use it for mock-up fabric. And just if they don't, then they don't. And I'll just keep on moving.
And even if they don't have the color you're looking for, you can always use things like that, say, for quilt rugs. You can make tablecloths with it to protect your working area as you're working on cosplay, that sort of thing.
There's lots of uses for extra fabric.
And if you ever end up with extra fabric that you can't use, the scraps are too small, wrong color, wrong type, whatever, extra fabric can always be donated. People don't know that. You don't have to throw it out. You can always donate it to local theater companies, to local high schools, to local shelters. They will happily take it off your hands because they make things with it for their theater departments, or they'll make it for, you know, runaway kids or what have you. Sometimes you can even donate to Quilts of Valor. It's for returning vets out of cotton. All I ask is that please wash any fabric that you do donate. Wash it before you hand it to them. And make sure that it's nice and ironed if you can manage it, especially if it's cotton. Yes, I know it's going to get wrinkled when you fold it back up. But at least make it look nice, please. Because that helps them out.
It
really does.
It does.
Yeah, I mean, for Quilts of Valor, if you pre-cut their squares for them, they will love you. Because you've done a lot of their work for them. And hey, rotary cutter use.
Yeah, hey. Good. It's a good opportunity to learn how to use it, because I also had to teach myself, how the hell do I use this thing?
That's always fun.
I had a lot of diagonal lines going on. And I was like, oh, well, okay, I guess I don't hold this. Oh, I hold it like this. Oh.
So we should probably move on. We've spent 40 minutes on this stuff.
Wow, that's some cosplay in the news and then some. Dang!
It is. All right, so TwitchCon's cosplay contest. What is this thing?
So this has been hitting the internet this week, and it's kind of going bananas and then some. TwitchCon is doing its second year this year. And for those who don't know, Catherine, hello. One of our correspondents went last year and gave us a review of TwitchCon, and it sounded like it was kind of fun. This year, they're ramping it up by hosting a cosplay contest that's coinciding with their Twitch stream. So it's online, and then it goes to the convention itself. And it has over $63,000 worth of prizes up for grabs. Yo, bananas, what the heck is going on? Blah! It's kind of cool. It's kind of interesting. I have questions, but I've read through the rules. I've seen what they need people to do. And it's kind of a cool concept. It's allowing the audience members to have a say in who they want to see in the finals. And it gives new cosplayers an opportunity to showcase their work in a completely new way. So basically what you have to do is you have to stream a minimum of 15 hours of you working on your costume for this contest. And you've got from now until like August 22nd to get it done. And they tell you through the rules, you know, you do this, and then we'll make sure you get entered. But you have to make this costume specifically for this contest. And it has to be a minimum of 15 hours. You can do more than that. That's totally cool. And then after that, they have a 3 to 4 day voting period where they have a 60-second clip of you making your costume. And people can vote on it. And the top 20 people who are voted in will get a paid trip to TwitchCon. So you get your room, your hotel, some food, I think, as well. I think some food taken care of. And then additional travel expenses, as well as two passes to TwitchCon, where you can compete there live. And yeah, the prizes themselves are pretty hefty cash prizes. Like first, second, and third place are fairly substantial. First place is 15 grand. Dang. That's more than C2E2. That's a lot of money. Second place is 8 grand, third place is 5 grand, and they have four categories. The categories actually mimic what C2E2 is going to be doing next year, which I'm actually really, really a big fan of. Each category winner will get $500 on top of that. The rest of the 30 grand actually comes from the travel expenses. I actually went and I totaled it up, and it's like $33,000 for travel expenses when you for 20 people. Yeah, it's a lot of money. So it's not actually 33,000 in prizes. It's 63,000 in prizes. It's 33 in travel. The rest of it to the money. And so far, they've announced three people who are going to be judges. Yahya Khan is one of them, and then Commander Holly, who also does some streaming. The other one that I'm kind of like, I don't know if this is a good idea. The other one is a strictly Twitch streamer. His name is Giant Waffle. He has zero cosplay experience. Maybe not ideal as a judge for a craftsmanship contest, but it's Twitch. They're going to do their own thing, so whatever. But it sounds like it's a really cool opportunity. The prize money might scare people like myself away from even attempting it. you do have that thing of, well, this is kind of a popularity contest now, because if you have 500,000 followers on your Twitch stream, you can easily just keep begging them to vote for you and they'll vote for you. But if you only have 10, well, you might be SOL. But I mean, that's a cool opportunity. And it's something that I encourage people who have a Twitch stream to really consider it, jump on board. If you're able to make time that first weekend of October to go out to TwitchCon, it might be worth the investment. Ultimately, it's going to come down to the top 20 finalists and what the judges have to say about their costume. And they're actually going to be reviewing your footage from Twitch as well as judging you on site. So that's kind of cool too. They get to actually see the entire process of you building your costume. That to me is the most interesting aspect of this. Cosplay really has been branching out. It's just nifty as all get to see how far it's come along over the past couple of years. It's craftsmanship on a new level.
And it's all streamed.
It is
Why?
all streamed live for your enjoyment. So take a couple of minutes to go read through the rules and make sure that you're eligible, because you do have to be 18 or older. It's United States and Canada only, with the exception of Quebec, because Quebec. So there are rules and restrictions, and there are certain things that you have to do to make sure that your stream is tagged properly. So that way you are part of the contest, and you do have to fill out an entry form. But yeah, there's going to be some highs and lows. I'm curious to see who else they add onto the judging team. I'm hoping that they put in more cosplayers, not many more streamers, or like cosplay streamers. Like, I'm cool with cosplay streamers because obviously they're doing it for the craftsmanship, and this should be a craftsmanship challenge, not just a who's got the cooler looking costume because they're boobs are hanging out challenge. Sorry to be so blunt, but that's how a lot of these contests end up turning into is popularity. So what's always the best?
It comes to Twitch.
Yeah, especially when it comes to Twitch. Even though Twitch does have some stricter-ish rules about the streaming ins and what people can wear, a lot of these contests involving the internet are based off of how people look and what's the most popular. And sometimes what's the most popular isn't always the best in craftsmanship, as many of us know from cosplay contests at conventions. Amber's making a face. She's making a face.
Going to keep my mouth shut.
Because you know it's true.
Yes, I know.
But yeah, that should be an interesting mess. I'm curious to see who gets chosen for top 20, and I'll definitely be watching a ton more streams because I like watching the crafting process of it. That's always cool for me to see. That's all I got. Next.
Like the Bob Ross of,
Yes. Bob Ross
and I
is awesome.
assume that we will see the typical things on Twitch, Kappa and such.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
People are streaming.
Of course.
We do ask that you guys are civil when you are watching streams. Please don't add to the Twitch culture that is current Twitch chat, because we're better than that.
We really
as cross
are.
Players. At least I certainly really hope so.
But it's also really nice to see that as the Twitch creative channel has exploded, I thought that it would be more focused on game developers creating their own artwork and like live streaming it as they draw it out. But to see cosplayers have really taken over and have become the top commodity on it, that's just really nifty to see. It definitely takes our realm into a completely different level of awesomeness.
I can appreciate it.
Oh, yeah.
And to think that they're going to put that much prize money down, I mean, that's Anime Expo level prize money.
Mm-hmm.
And Expo is massive.
Expo won't pay for your trip out there.
Right. That too. Plus you get all of the additional exposure of streaming and having Twitch behind you, whereas Expo doesn't do that.
So it's nifty. I'm excited to see what becomes of it.
We shall see.
We shall see. It might be fun to enter. If it weren't for the fact if it weren't for the fact that I knew that I was already working that weekend, and that's the one weekend out of the year that I have to work. But the thing was that they split up the categories like C2, E2 is starting to split up. So you have sewing section, right. Armor, FX, and then like big rig builds, like the ones where they're so massive, like they give you longer limbs and you can't really see out of your costume. So they actually have everything split up so you can compete against the people that are just the sewing category or just the armor category. So
you're competing against your peers.
Exactly, because something like this is not going to work well against an armor category. There's no way. How do you judge between the two? How? That's something that we struggle with every time at a convention. How do you judge? So that's kind of nice to see that they're taking that step and going, okay, maybe we should do this because we know they're different type of cosplayers with different sets of skills.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of cool.
Yes.
He's cool.
Do you want to go ahead and do your article, or do we want to hold that and do the OG?
Let's do OG since we were talking about that. We're the original gangsters here. Let's do it.
Okay. I just don't want us to go too long over an
hour. I know. It's like we're already going to hit that hour mark. It's funny.
I know.
That didn't take long. Jeez.
All right. So this being based on what we've seen out of forums lately, we wanted to discuss making your own unique versions of characters. Now, usually, these are not necessarily allowed in competition because a lot of organizations, a lot of conventions want you to have very specific reference images, and a lot of OG characters won't have that. So this is most part for fun, for your own benefit, just to be different. Just because.
Because.
Cosplay.
Because cosplay, why not?
Yeah, for the heck of it. The first thing you're obviously going to want to do if you want to make an OG version of a character is to find reference images of that character.
Mm-hmm.
Because you need something to start from. Then you can go and do your deviations. But if you want it to be recognizable, you're still going to have some throwbacks to the original design. Otherwise, people aren't going to recognize it for what it's supposed to be. So take a look at the original design from the original author. And decide what parts you want to keep and what parts you want to change. So that's step one. Figure out what it is that you want to do. What you want to keep. Then you move on to what you want to change. What awesome thing do you want to do with this character? Do you want to give them a new hair color? Do you want to give them new markings like tattoos? Do you want to put them in different outfits, which is usually the default? Pretty much everybody who does OG just does a different outfit because that makes it most recognizable. If you do a different outfit, what kind of outfit? You're probably not going to want to wear a swimsuit character in winter, and you're probably not going to want to wear a full-on a heavy Lolita or Renaissance style in Texas summer, just because you will sweat and you will die in your pool of sweat. Do you want to do a maid version? Do you want to do a school version, school uniform version? Do you want to do warrior version? We've seen all these different variations on all these different things. So kind of get those creative juices going. You can look at the internet for other images of OG cosplay. It doesn't have to be your character. It can be anything. Just to get ideas. What is it that you want to do? What do you want to do with this character? Where do you want to take it? And from there, I'm going to let you take over since you've actually started doing this.
Yeah, I know. So from there, what I like to do next is I actually like to sit down and sketch out my idea. So I have an idea of what the heck I'm going to do and make this. And see, look, I'm not doing traditional creeper. I'm making 50 style creeper. So even if you're not the greatest at drawing, like clearly I'm not, I suck at it. This gives me an idea of what I'm going to do with it and where I'm going to go. And I can always tweak it later on. There are certain things that I did differently with the belt and that I did with the straps, and that's fine. You can always change it up as you go. But having a template and knowing what I'm going to do with it makes it so much easier for me to plan and figure out my measurements when it comes to how much fabric I need and all that goodness. So sketching it out, if you don't already have an image or an art piece that you're working from, mentally helps so much. This is your life. This is your lifeline. Love it. Need it. And then you go fabric hunting.
Yep. You decide what materials are you going to need to make this drawing come to life, which is just like any other cosplay, OG or not. Figure out what you're going to make it out of and then go and get that thing.
Get the thing.
Or things. Yes, or things plural. So certain materials work better with certain types of costumes than others, but that's not particular to OGs. That's for any kind of costume. You're going to want to pick suitable fabrics, suitable materials to make armor, figure out what you're going to make the armor out of, how you're going to attach it, what sort of adhesives you're going to need, that sort of thing. And then make sure that whenever you are starting to plot these patterns, that you incorporate for undergarments. Please.
Please. A million times over, please.
Make sure that you take that into effect or account when you're doing your fitting. And with basically your OG costume is done the same way as any other costume. You assemble your materials, you build up a pattern, make a mock-up, make adjustments, and then make your final test fit, make sure that works as well, and then you go and make your accessories if you have any. So nothing. But the other thing is that once you're done, part of the thing with OG versions of characters is that you again want to have throwbacks to the original.
Right.
Make sure it's very recognizable as this is this character, but different. So you may wish to add accessories to, yes. You may wish to add accessories to complete the throwback. So if you want to add something in the hair, you know, if you want to embroider symbols, say on the collar, on a belt, like that, you know, make extra jewelry, make some sort of pouch that has symbols embroidered on it. You know, just something that really calls to mind that other character. And that's what really kind of makes it recognizable. Yes, that.
Or that. This was not intentional. I actually just pulled this out because I'm going to start working on snaps. But yes. I mean, that's the same vein of thought, though, is that, I mean, if I didn't add these little touches to it, nobody would realize, oh, you're trying to talk about the Achievement Hunter Minecraft. So, I mean, you got to add those little things to make it a little bit more special. And it gives you the opportunity to be really creative and stretch your mind and figure out, okay, what else can I do to this cool, crazy thing that I'm making? So that's one thing I'm liking about doing these projects, is it really allows me to be open to new ideas. And I'm not restricted to just the palette of what the character is. Now I can just go into different directions and make it my own, make it something unique for me.
But it's still recognizable as a creeper.
Exactly. That's my hope. Think I got enough squares on there?
A few more.
Maybe a couple more. I don't know.
I think you should have done squares for the straps too, so that you literally have squares everywhere.
That's what I was initially doing, but at that point I was like, I'm so tired of squares. I don't care anymore. So I just used dark green straps. That was my original plan, though.
Nice.
It was going to be square heaven. And it's like, no, I'm done. No more. Good. We're good.
Yeah, it's fairly popular to do school uniform versions of characters because they're very straightforward and they all have a fairly similar pattern. The only trouble with that, though, is that unless you properly accessorize it with things that call that character to mind, school uniforms can be really basic, and it's hard to tell characters apart unless they have a very distinctive hairstyle.
Right. Yeah. Especially stuff like that. It can be copy paste, copy paste, copy paste. So it's in those cases, it's probably best to try to keep as much of the character's physical features the same. So keep the same hair color, hairstyle, same makeup. Don't go overboard with it. Especially if you have a simple outfit that you're wearing. So that way you've got something that people can recognize, like, oh, hey, it's Sailor Moon people's. Great.
Or if they have a distinct school uniform like the girls at Beacon from Ruby, then they're fairly recognizable, even if you're a different character in one.
You gotta make it work.
Made uniforms can be really generic as well. It's the same sort of thing. If you pick a genre of costume that tends to be very consistent across series, it's gonna be a little harder for you to stand out. It can still
Right.
be comfy. You can still do it. There's nothing stopping you. We're just saying that if you really want to be recognized, if that's the purpose, then you may need to work a little harder to accessorize to make sure that you're still recognizable. But if you do something like, say, swimsuits, where there's a massive amount of variety, then that may be a little bit easier for you. Or if you do other sorts of, battle uniforms, like the battle Pokemon, the
The
Eeveelutions.
evolutions, yeah.
Those are unique because you don't see standardization in those. Those are a little bit easier to tell what you are. So it's something to think about whenever you guys are planning your OG versions, is how much are you going to stand out and how much are you going to have to work to throw back? Throw a lifeline to the original.
And a lot of times with certain characters, it's just a matter of keeping the same hairstyle. Like if you do it with Dragon Ball Z characters, hairstyle is one of the best and easiest ways to ensure that people realize that's Dragon Ball. The rest of you can be completely different, but hair, Dragon Ball. Or with all of the costumes at Colossal Con, because that's Water Park Con, you see all these really great bathing suits, and you can tell who the characters are. Maybe if they have a simple, like, two-piece suit on, but they have the wig and the facial features, such as our friends at Mythos Creations who did the Lord of the Rings group. That was hysterical. And they were all in bikinis. It was great. But you could tell they were Lord of the Rings because of their hair and makeup.
Or I mean the fairy tale students or the fairy tale mages. There's a ton of swimsuit cosplays of those characters.
Good gravy,
And
yes.
they all have the fairy tale tattoos on, so you can tell what they're from. Or, the My Little Pony OGs, which there's a ton of. They
Whoo,
all have their
yeah.
cutie marks on. You can tell what they're from. They have that one little identifying thing where you can tell what they're supposed to be. So go forth, have fun, and make great OG cosplays.
OG for life.
OG.
OG. We are way too white to be saying that. Oh my God.
Whoa. Let's not go there. Family friendly show.
Family
Inclusive.
friendly.
All right. I don't have anything else for this ep. I think we are good in an hour.
I know. We have done ourselves some service and then some. Woo, go us. Go us. We're recording a little bit earlier because, as I mentioned, Val is going to be at RTX next weekend, which is when we would typically record. And our schedules are just so funky right now that trying to record before or after was not going to be as productive.
Yeah, and I actually have to work the holiday weekend.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
So, unfortunately, by the time I get off, I will have just enough time to come home and watch fireworks on TV.
Yay, fireworks.
That'll be it.
Oh man, so yeah,
But anyway,
it'll be
we
fun.
hope those of you who are going to RTX and Anime Expo and everything else this upcoming weekend have a fantastic time, dare I say a blast.
Oh, ha ha ha. Nice. Yes,
I had to.
Nice.
And of course, for those who are prepping for other upcoming cons, including Anime Fest, we also hope that you guys are having a fantastic time making your cosplays and that they're going well. You can contact us on all of our social media, which you can find here, 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 and here.
Or over here.
We will happily take your questions, comments, concerns, suggestions, compliments, whatever you want to give us, show topics, interview requests. We will take them all, and happily, you will probably get 2 responses from us because you are that awesome.
Very much so.
And of course, we hope to see many of you guys at Infinicon in about 6 weeks. Please continue signing up for the cosplay contest because I would like to give you guys all of these really cool prizes. I don't want to keep them in my house. I would like to give them to you. So please sign up. It's a very family-friendly contest. Anybody can participate. You don't have to have made your costume if you want to walk the stage. That is fine. We heartily encourage everybody to consider participating, especially if it's your first contest. Otherwise, we will see you guys in episode 120 of CosPod, the podcast for all things cosplay. Bye, everybody.
Bye.